Hello and welcome to this special episode dedicated to our Erasmus project, Grande Chercheur de Eurocitoyenneté. My name is Adelina Tocito, I'm a radio host and an editor at Bucharest FM, the regional studio of Radio Romania, and trainer within this inspiring European program. This project is coordinated by ABS in partnership with Radio Romania and Lycée Edouard Brinley here in Boulogne-sur-Mer and supported by Mago Mundi, an association from Romania. Together, these partners aim to help young people explore what European citizenship means today through search, creativity, and especially through podcasting, and in particular to understand how European funds can be accessed and used to support the development of local communities. Over the past days, I've witnessed an incredible cultural exchange between French and Romanian students, a real mix of languages, experiences, and perspectives. Through their podcast, they are discovering how to collaborate, how to communicate across differences, and how to build a shared European story together. Today, I'm delighted to speak with Anton Alexander, president of ABS, to understand more about the association's mission and its commitment to European citizenship and its vision for a project that brings young Europeans together through creativity and dialogue. So, Anton, first of all, thank you for the last days. They were wonderful.
Thank you to you for coming.
So, could you briefly introduce ABS and explain its main mission since its creation?
Yes. So EIBS was founded by a colleague of mine and me in 2010. Firstly, as a, what we call in France a junior association. It's a kind of association of non-profit that can be run and managed by underage people. It was 15 years ago. Since then, the non-profit has grown and took part in different European partnerships. We took part in Interreg partnership a couple of years ago, but we still are committed to the development and raising awareness on the question of European citizenship. When we founded the association in 2010, it was at the height of the economic crisis of the 2008 subprime crisis, and anti-euro feelings, anti-Europe feelings were very, very strong in the public opinion. We wanted to bring a new light and explain better what the European Union is about and how the citizens can involve. So, of course, involvement in the European community is done by voting to the European election, choosing wisely the representatives to the European Parliament, but also explain to the citizens that they can, by their day-to-day engagement, their initiatives, promote a new way of building the European Union and work with other people from other member states to do, not to complain about European policies, but to change them and to help the European Union, the European institution, make a real change that helps citizens locally and help people understand that the decision of the European institutions are not policies decided in Brussels, and that is that. They have an impact locally. So we are very, of course, very, very pleased to have been able to engage with students in that way and show them and make them explain to other students the impact of the European policies. And we are very pleased to be partners of Radio Romania because the very first action we implemented to fulfill that goal in 2010 was by the creation of weekly online radio show.
So, ABS has been working for many years on promoting European citizenship.
Right.
It's a good resume.
Yes.
It's a good one. But what motivated the association to focus on this theme, especially for young people, because you spoke about them earlier?
Young people are the next generation of Euro citizens. If we can work today with young people, we can work to build generation, a true generation of well-aware citizens. When people are in high school, in middle school and high school, they don't obviously not realize how the European Union is functioning, how does this institution interact with each other, have impact on policy. And it's very difficult to understand, but that's not the Europe we want to explain to these people. We want to show them that they can work with students from Romania or from other member states. And if we give to them this opportunity now, we have very, very, very strong chance of having future when they are old enough to vote, where they are a bit older and engaged in their professional life and daily activities, to have citizens that keep that attachment to the European Construction Project.
Earlier in its history, ABS developed a web radio to raise awareness of European issues. Is that correct? Okay. How does this experience influence the association's current educational approach?
Very strongly. We feel that broadcasting, podcast production, and very more broadly, audiovisual activities can help us engage with students more easily. It can help us teach them differently by making them the actor of the skills they need to gain. The production themselves are materials and deliverables that we can use during our day-to-day activity as a non-profit, that we can send to other teachers, send to other schools, use as examples. But the process of creation, the process of writing, researching, writing, editing a radio broadcast is in itself the best experience they can, at least for now we managed to do, the best experience we have to teach them those notions. Let's be frank, it's a bit more fun for students to do this than to attend a three-hour class on how the European institution works.
Yeah, but there are also useful information for them if we know how to teach them that serious information.
Of course.
About European Union. For the Erasmus Plus project, Grande Chaussure de Eurocitoyenneté, what do you think students should understand about their rights and responsibilities as European citizens?
I think
regarding the experience that they had here at Boulogne-sur-Mer.
I think that the first key experience that they should understand is that they are impacted by EU policies. Luckily, it's a concrete impact of their territory, and that they can picture this impact. And by picturing this impact, they can better understand what the European institutions can or can't do. This message helps us to break apart some part of the political discourse speech that tend to accuse the EU of everything. No, the EU is not responsible for everything. The EU is responsible for a number of things, a number of key identified competences. And that's what we're trying. Of course, we are not teaching them every competence thinkable, but they can picture better the impact of the European Union. And also, it can be a very positive impact, luckily. And the second objective is to show them that the European Union is a cooperation of member states based on solidarity. I think it's very, very important for us to show maybe two very different countries. You've got France, which is one of the founded members of the European Union, which is contributing heavily to the EU budget. And here in France, we have got very strong political case of reducing our contribution to the European Union. And it's true, we are what we call the net contributors of the EU. But to show them your money is not disappearing. And it's going maybe to other countries that joined the EU lately in its history, and we are helping them with this project to rejoin the same standard of living in a positive way, the same standard of living and standard of development. They can picture this because it's not a concept anymore. It's friends that they are helping. It's friends in other countries. In a way, we are making what I call small Europeans. Of course they are French, they are Romanians, but they also see themselves as European. They live as European. And if we can translate that with a generation of children, we won't have, I hope, at least in the future, the same problem in sharing, in working together that we have now. In the same way that we are in northern France, which is a part of France with many challenges. Economically speaking, it's very difficult here. We've got a lot of past history of industrial activities that have closed down. So it's a region in France which is in crisis. And nobody is telling we need to set apart northern France from the rest of the country because we don't want to help them anymore. Nobody is questioning that Paris or well-developed region of France, well-developed area of France, is helping northern France. Well, maybe we shouldn't question that well-developed countries of the EU are helping less successful countries as for now. And who knows, tomorrow it may very well be the other way around.
Vice versa, yes. So we are having this interview in our last day of this Erasmus Mobility. So there were 4 days, full 4 days, with activities and a lot of experiences. In this day, at this hour, how would you describe the cultural exchange that took place between French and Romanian students during this project? After these 4 days, you are exhausted. I can see it on your face.
Very rich. That's what I would first think as a word to describe it. It's very confusing. I mean, you can't measure the success of this kind of mobility by any rationals, but you can feel them. I think you'll agree that we can feel, looking at our students, looking at how they feel, how they talk to each other, how they have tied some friendship, that we know this was a success. And they worked hard, there were new podcasts recorded, there were new deliverables being made. We talked a lot and we exchanged a lot on the objectives of the partnership, but it's so rich, it's very difficult to describe. I think it's a very unique experience for all the stakeholders of this kind of partnership. It's very unique and you just need to live them. And every partnership is different, every partnership is a unique experience, but it's so rich. And we are also so tired that it's a bit overwhelming.
I heard some of them saying that they never did recording like they did in these days, working together, sharing experience about what they've done during the last couple of months. I and Raluca, like I said, in these days, but I want to have it on this recording, that we had some main objectives in our heads. We want them to know each other. We want them to get over the language barriers. We want them to speak and to share experience about what they've done, to understand what is a recording, an interview, to think about the questions. I think we managed to complete all these objectives.
Oh, you definitely are.
And we have 2 recordings with them having different roles, radio hosts or the person that are answering to the questions. And what did the students learn about teamwork by creating podcast episodes with partners from another country? Which do you think was the main success in this activity?
It's a tough one. If I can pick one main success. Obviously, getting over the language barrier, which I think difficult is right now to do. Getting over the language barrier is very fundamental skills that they need in their life, in their future life. And all the students break that barrier language. Some of them have more facility speaking in English, expressing themselves in English. For others, it's more difficult, but all of them did communicate together. They all exchanged together.
So. They all exchanged. They all stayed at the same table. They were 2 teams. We must share this information. I think that was great for them.
Yes, it was great. And then after the recording of the podcast, the team were completely blended. If you come from the outside and forget about the accent in English, you couldn't tell which student's Romanian, which student's French. They were completely mixed together, completely blended. So on that point, I think it's of course a very great success of the way you were able to engage them in the recording, and they felt very appreciated in their work. It was for them a unique experience to be coached by 2 professional radio broadcasters. I think it's one lifetime experience for many, 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 many of them. I don't see them, maybe 1 or 2 of them, maybe it will start new vocation in their head, but for the majority of these students, I don't see them working in any radio station.
Who knows?
Maybe some of them. Well, you've got some students in Romania that you could keep their resume.
We heard some good voices in these days.
But they wouldn't have this opportunity without the project and without you. So I want to thank you, both of you, for that.
We want to thank you as well. But I have 1 or 2 more questions for you. These students are learning in local high schools.
Yes.
We have high school Zinca Golescu from Pitești, Romania, and we have Lycée Edward Brinley in Boulogne-sur-Mer. Why is it important for local schools like this to engage in European citizenship education through such collaborative projects?
I think there is 2 major advantages. It's one way of training their students with skills that are needed, of course, in other classes. So it can help them in a very educational way to help students, especially students who may have more difficulties in class, and to teach them new skills that they are going to be used. Being able to speak, being able to engage orally with an audience can be very difficult for some students. But it's mandatory, it's a requirement. So we need them to be able to do that in our school system and to succeed in school. So that's the way they can maybe work on that kind of skills differently. And in English especially, I mean, learning of English, it's a bit self-explanatory. So the other advantage is to being able for the school to engage in such partnerships is also to being able for the students and the staff and the teachers to open their minds to other way of working with sometimes other schools. So how does education work in other countries, or in kind of this project, working with other type of institutions? It's not teachers working with teachers. It's teachers working with radio hosts and professional young workers. It's teachers working with volunteers. It's public service working with public broadcasters. It's also public service, but not the same kind of public body. It's two public bodies working with one, but I should say, two non-profits, well, of course the IBS, but also Imago Mundi. So it's a cooperation on very different level. The difference is not only the difference in country, it's a difference in professional culture. And I saw that in the last 4 days. It was very, very intense to see how the teachers did start to talk differently with the volunteers or with you two guys, because, oh, okay, we're not between teacher colleagues anymore. We don't have exactly the same language, let alone in English, but we don't have exactly the same language. And on that point, I think that kind of partnership of cooperation between different type of structure is of organizations is very, very, very rich for the
Do you have one word to describe what happened in these days? One word, an English word and the French one.
So an English word would be amazing.
And in French?
And in French, I could do the translation, which would be formidable.
Looking towards the future, what are IBS priorities or upcoming initiatives to continue supporting young Europeans in understanding and embracing the European project?
Two level. Definitely want to continue developing partnership like this. So, and on different level, we want also to try with educators. So we are from what we call in France education populaire, popular education, but the term doesn't mean many things in English. The closest translation would be permanent education. And so we have worked a lot with adult education. So we want also to engage on that level and maybe work more with teachers, with trainers, with youth workers or social workers to use those skills that we develop and those experiences that we had during this partnership to replicate them with different kind of public. So we want to continue building European partnership. We want to engage deeply in that momentum of working with organization of other country. And another level, we want also to being able to produce maybe more materials like we are doing right now on European citizenship and find a way somehow to engage with our local populations, our target groups with who we are working locally, and be more efficient in our way to promote European citizenship. And by European citizenship, it's not only the sense of citizenship. We have a strong emphasis, and it's very important for us right now. We have a very strong emphasis on the core European values. I think the students worked a lot about the funding by the European Union, how the European Union can fund that project or another project. But we also need to understand that the first thing which is important is our core values. European Union is a project of peace. And there is no better moment to say that right now in the global situation we are facing. And it's also a project built on the values of democracy, respect of every person, every individual, non-discrimination, respect to the minorities. And it's very important to us, so important that it's it's explicitly referenced in our founding, what we call statutes, which is our founding document, our legal founding document, which explicitly references Article 2 of the Treaty of the European Union, which explicit these values, these core values. And we want to work on these core values with our publics because they are in danger right now. And it's a great threat for all of us, and it's scaring the team of volunteers and also the partners with who we work locally.
Thank you so much for this discussion, and we are looking forward to having you in March in Bucharest.
Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to meet you back in March.
In Bucharest, and Raluca and I will be there to wait for you and to prepare for you a wonderful experience as we had here these days in Bologna-sur-Mer.
And I'm sure you will. Thank you very much.